Okay. All right. Should be a little bit better sound quality today, since we're using a different computer. Rade, rade, govinda, govinda, rade, 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 govinda, govinda, rade, 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 govinda.
Hare Bo, Hare Bo, Hare Bo.
people. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paravita Kacharya also Teta Satishi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Charana Bhaktivedanta Gosami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananda Goti Vaishnava Vrindi Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Param Se Gaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidwaita Gadadha Shubhasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindi Ki Jai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopikopadath Shyamkun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturidam Kijai Jagannathaswami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shrimati Lassi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda. Hari Hari Go. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Samaniti Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi. Gauravani Pachari Nivashesha Shunyavari Paschacha. Deja Tarni. Thank you all for joining us again. So Om Gana Timuranda Shah Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Un Miditam Yena Tosmai Shigurave Maha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual masters, Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, in that mind, we are going to read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 10, beginning with text 77. And we are reading about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And there's going to be some very interesting pastimes with King Prataparudra. So let's get ready for those pastimes. So, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Just get just a few things here. Hold on a second. Okay. So, reading from text 77. Of the 10th chapter of Madhya Lila. Shuniya nandita hoela sachi mataramana shivasadi arayata yata bhakta gana. This good news gave much pleasure to Mother Sachi as well as to all the devotees of Navadvip headed by Shivas Thakur. In other words, they were sending news to Mother Sachi and all the devotees in Navadvip that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was back in Jagannath Puri after doing his South Indian tour. Shuniya sabarahaila paramahulasa Advaita charya grihe gela krishna dasa. Hearing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's return to Puri, everyone became very glad. Krishna das next went to the house of Advaita Acharya. So another point is, this is Kala Krishna Das, who Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I don't want to see you anymore. And the reason he said, I don't want to see you anymore, is because Kala Krishna Das was lured by the Batat Haris, the gypsies, who used pretty ladies to lure him, like a fish is caught by putting a worm on the hook. So anyway, don't bite the worm. Anyway, so Krishna Das was told by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he rescued him and after he brought him back to Jagannath Puri, don't want to see anymore, but the devotees are more merciful than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, specifically Lord Nityananda, and they sent him to Navadvip to tell the devotees in Navadvip about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's return to Jagannath Puri. So in this way, he was engaged in the Lord's, in the service of the Lord's devotees, so he never lost the Lord's mercy. Achayara prasada diya kari namaskara Sangyaksa kahila mahaprabhura samat chara. After paying him respectful obeisances, Krishnadas offered Mahaprasadam to Advaita Acharya. That is the prasadam coming from Jagannath Puri, from Lord Jagannath. He then informed him of the news of Lord Chaitanya in complete detail. Shuni Acharya Goshanira Anandaha Hila Prema Veshe Hunkara Bahon Richa Gita Koila. When Advaita Acharya Goswami heard of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's return, he became very pleased in his great ecstasy of love. He made a rumbling sound and danced and chanted for a long time. So, you know, very interesting in regard to the class that we're giving this morning and we're giving the other day in New Taliban, that Advaita Acharya is non-different from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Advaita Chudanati Radhanta Rupa. There's only one God. We're talking about Vishnu Tattva personalities, Advaita Acharya, Lord Nityananda. But there's one God, and he acts differently in different circumstances. For example, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I don't want to see Kala Krishnadas anymore. But Lord Nityananda said, yes, I want to see him. And he's the same person. Wow. Same person, in different moods, simultaneously, in different places. Phew. Hard to understand. If anyone says they can understand Krishna, they are wrong. Because Krishna is achincha. He's inconceivable. If God was chincha or conceivable, then he wouldn't be God. Then he'd be one of us. And even I can't even understand one of you perfectly. Can't even understand a cell in a body of one person perfectly. I can't even understand an atom perfectly. I can't even understand an electron or a proton or a neutron or a muon or a quark perfectly. What do I understand perfectly? Nothing. I just know we're supposed to love Krishna. What do you understand perfectly? Nothing! It's interesting. I should bring that out in one of the morning classes. Haridasa Thakur Hera Haila Paramananda Vasudeva Datta Gupta Murari Sena Shivananda. Also hearing this auspicious news, Haridasa Thakur became very pleased. So also did Vasudeva Datta Murari Gupta and Shivananda Sen. Acharya Radnara Pandita Varkeshvara Acharya Nidhyara Pandita Gadadhara. Acharya Radna, Varkeshvara Pandit, Acharya Nidhi, and Gadadhara Pandit were all very pleased to hear this news. Sri Rama Pandita Ara Pandita Damodara Sriman Pandita Ara Vijaya Shidhara. Sri Rama Pandit, Damodara Pandit, Sriman Pandit, Vijaya, and Shridhara were also very pleased to hear it. Raghava Pandita Ragacharya Nandana Kateka Kariba Ara Yata Prabhura Gana. Raghava Pandit, Nandanacharya, and all the devotees became very satisfied. How many can I describe? Shunya Subarahaila Parama Vilasa Savimeli Gela Shri Advaitera. Everyone was very pleased, and they all gathered together at the house of Advaita Acharya. Now you may wonder why Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is reciting the names of all these people we've heard again and again and again, because just by hearing their names, one makes spiritual advancement. One becomes enlivened. I mean, when I hear their names, I just become ecstatico. Acharya Sabe Kaila Charana Vandana Acharya Goshani Savare Kaila Lingana. All the devotees offered respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of Advaita Acharya and returned. Advaita Acharya embraced them all. Dinadvi Tina Acharya Mahotsava Kaila Nilachala Yaite Acharya Yukti Trida Kaila. Advaita Acharya then held a festival that lasted 2 or 3 days. Thereafter, they all made a firm decision to go to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sabi Meli Navadvipe Ake Ekatrahana Niladri Chalilas Shachimatara Ugyalana. All the devotees met together at Navadvipa and with Mother Shachi's permission departed for Niladri. Blue Hill, Jagannath Puri. Prabhura Samachara Shuni Kulina Grama Vasi Sacharaja Ramananda Milila Sabayasi. The inhabitants of Kulina Grama, Sacharaja Ramananda, and all the other devotees there came and joined Advaita Acharya. Mukunda Narahari Raghunandana Kanda Hoite Acharya Thani Oila Nilachare Aite. Mukunda Narahari Raghunandan and all the others came from Kanda to Advaita Acharya's home to accompany him to Jagannath Puri. Se Kale Dakshina Aite Paramananda Puri Ganga Tire Tire Aila Nadia Nagari. At that time, Paramananda Puri came from South India. Traveling along the banks of the Ganges, he ultimately reached the town of Nadia. Aira Mandire Suke Karila Vishrama Aitanre Bhiksha Dilak Kariya Samana. At Navadvipa, Paramananda Puri took his board and lodging at the house of Shachi Mata. She provided him with everything very respectfully. Prabhura agamana tena tahani shunila shigranila chala yate tanraicha hoila. While residing at the house of Shachi Mata, Paramananda Puri heard the news of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's return to Jagannath Puri. He therefore decided to go there as soon as possible. I would definitely go there if I was him to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I would drop everything if I heard Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was somewhere. Wouldn't you? Prabhura eka bhakta dvija kamalakanta nama tanrilana nilachile karila priyana. There was a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name Dvija Kamalakanta, whom Paramananda Puri took with him to Jagannath Puri. Satvare Ashiya Tena Milila Prabhure Prabhura Ananda Haila Anatanhare. Paramananda Puri very soon arrived at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's place. The Lord was very happy to see him. Wow. Prema Veshe Kaila Tanra Charana Vandana Tena Prema Veshe Kaila Prabhure Alingana. In the great ecstasy of love, the Lord worshipped the lotus feet of Paramananda Puri, and in turn Paramananda Puri embraced the Lord in great ecstasy. Prabhu Kahe Toma Sange Rahita Vanchakaya More Kripa Kari Kara Miladri Ashraya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, please stay with me and thus show me favor, accepting the shelter of Jagannath Puri. Puri Kahe Toma Sange Rahite Vanchakare Gorahaite chalaya lana nilachala puri. Paramananda Puri replied, I also wish to stay with you. Therefore, I have come from Bengal Gota to Jagannath Puri. Dakshinahaite shuni tamara hagamana sachi anandatara yata bhakta gana. At Navadvip, Mother Sachi and all the other devotees were very glad to hear about your return from South India. Sabe asite chena tomare dekite tansavara vilamba deki ailana tvarite. They're all coming to see you. They're coming here to see you. But seeing that they were delayed, I came alone very quickly. Kashi mishrera avase nibrite kagara prabhutanre dila ara Sevara Kinkara. There was a solitary room at Kashi Mishra's house, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave it to Paramananda Puri. He also gave him a servant. Haradine Aila Surupa Damodara Prabhura Atyanta Marmi Rasera Sagara. Surupa Damodara also arrived the next day. He was a very intimate friend of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, and he was an ocean of transcendental fellows. Of course, Swarup Damodar Goswami is the appearance or avatar of Lalita Devi, because Srimati Radharani had two most intimate associates, Lalita and Vishaka, gopis, of course. And Swarup Damodar Goswami is Lalita Devi, and Ramananda Roy is Vishaka Devi. Sarupa is one of the names of a brahmacharya in Shankaracharya's disciple of succession. In the Vedic discipline, there are 10 names for sannyasis, and it's customary for a brahmacharya assisting a sannyasi of the designation Tirtha or Ashrama to receive the title Sarupa. Damodar Sarupa was formerly a resident of Navadvipa, and his name was Purushottamacharya. When he went to Varanasi, he took sannyas from a sannyasi designated Tirtha. Although he received the title Sarupa in his brahmachari stage, he did not change his name when he took sannyas. Actually, as a sannyasi, he should have been called Tirtha, but he chose to retain his original brahmachari title of Sarupa. And that's humility. For example, and I'm not saying that I was humble. For example, when I took sannyas many years ago, before any of you born in this mortal world, I had the name Pure Krishna. And when I took sannyas, actually I took sannyas from one of my godbrothers, Vinayananda Maharaj, in 1978, right after Srila Prabhupada left this world, because I was determined to dedicate my life, and I still am determined to dedicate my life to the service of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada. But I said to him, do not change my name, Maharaj, because my name was given by Prabhupada. And therefore, do not change it. You are prohibited. And he said, but I'm a sannyas guru. I'm allowed to change it. I said, no, you ain't. You keep my name because it's given to me by Prabhupada. And so that's why I don't have a tirtha. Or, like in ISKCON, you have many names like Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, or Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, or Bhakti Chu Maharaj, or so many different names with Bhakti in front of it. And those are the traditional ways sannyasi is called. But Prabhupada oftentimes just kept the brahmacharya name or the grihastha name, and he just added a Goswami or a Swami afterwards. So that's what I did. And I just added Goswami. And therefore, I have the easiest name of all the sannyasis in the movement to remember. Think about it. As far as the Western world is concerned, Beer, that's easy to remember. Krishna is easy to remember. Goswami. So Krishna gave me the easiest name that anybody can remember in a second. And that helps me with my preaching. Because the people ask, how do you pronounce your name? I say, well, beer. You don't know how to pronounce beer. All right. And Krishna. So, Purushottama Acharya Tanra Nama Purvashrame Navadvipe Chila Tena Prabhuracharane. When Swarup Damodar was residing at Navadvip under the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his name was Purushottama Acharya. Prabhura Sanyasa Deki Unmata Hai Nahana Sanyasa Grahana Kaila Varanasi Giya. After seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the renounced order, Purushottama Acharya became like a madman and immediately went to Varanasi to take sannyas. Chaitanya Nanda Guru Tanra Gyadilena Tandre Vedanta Padiya Padayo Samastalokire. At the conclusion of his sannyas, his spiritual master, Chaitanya Nanda Bharati, ordered him, read the Vedanta Sutra and teach it to all others. Parama Vivrata Tena Parama Pandita Kayamane Ashriyache Sri Krishna Charita. And of course, just one comment about the previous thing is that because his sannyas guru was in the Shankara Sampradaya, he advised him to read the Vedanta Sutra, because that's what they do in the Shankara Sampradaya. Swarup Damodar was a great renunciant as well as a great learned scholar. With heart and soul, he took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Nischinte Krishna Vajiva Heta Karane Unmade Karila Dena Sanyasa Grahane. He was very enthusiastic to worship Sri Krishna without disturbance, and therefore, almost in madness, he accepted the sannyasa order. So sannyasa is supposed to give you complete freedom to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, in ISKCON, sometimes the sannyasis have managerial roles. But we have freedom to serve His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, which is actually the highest principle. Sanyasa Karilakshika Suchachaga Rupa Yogapatana Nila Namahaila Surupa. Upon accepting sannyas, Purushottama Acharya followed the regulated principles by giving up his tuft of hair and sacred thread, but he did not accept the saffron colored dress. Also, he did not accept a sannyasi title, but remained as a naishtika brahmachari. That means someone who never got married or had any girlfriends. There are regulative principles governing the renounced order. One has to perform 8 kinds of shraddha. One must offer oblations to one's forefathers to perform the sacrifice of viraja homa. Then one must cut off the sika, this tuft of hair called a shikol, and also give up the sacred thread. These are preliminary processes in the acceptance of sannyas, and Swarup Damodar accepted all these. However, Purushottama Acharya did not accept the saffron color, a sannyasi name, or a danda, and for this reason, he retained his brahmachari name. Actually, Purushottama Acharya did not accept the sannyas order formally, but he renounced worldly life. He did not want to be disturbed by the formality of the sannyas order. He simply wanted to worship Lord Sri Krishna without disturbance. Therefore, with heart and soul, he took up the renounced order, but not the formalities accompanying it. Renunciation means not doing anything but serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. When one acts on this platform, trying to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is both a sannyasi and a yogi. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 6th chapter, text 1. Shri Bhagavan Vachana Shrita Karma Palam Karyam Karma Kurtiya Sa Sanyasi Cha Yogi Cha Na Niragnir Na Cha Kriyaha. The Supreme Personality of God has said, one who is unattached to the fruits of his work and works as he is obligated is in the renounced order of life and he is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no work. So one interesting thing you'll see here is the traditional way that a sannyasi would take sannyas, in addition to those other things that were mentioned in the chapter here, or in the verse and purport, are that he would cut off his sika, but, you know, look, I got a sika. And he would also get rid of his Brahman thread. Look, here's a Brahman thread. So what's up, Doc? You know, what's the reason we have a Brahman thread and a sika? Well, I'll tell you why. The reason, let's go back a little bit. The reason the sannyasi would cut off his sika and give up his Brahman thread is that he was considered to have no ashram and no varna. Basically, a sannyasi is an ashram, but basically he's renouncing all connection with even varnashram at this point. And he's civilly dead. It means no obligations, no more civil obligations. He has obligations to Krishna, obligations to the spiritual master, like that, but no more civil obligations. So it's a sign that he's actually renouncing all aspects of, let's say, his material identity. Especially the Brahman thread is an aspect of a material identity. That's a varna. I'm a Brahman. And so that's an external sign. And a sannyasi, traditionally, in Vaishnavism, would simply wear like a lungi. That's just something to cover. And he would have like a little shawl on the upper portion of his body. And that's it, in a water pot. And his beads. And that's it. He would depend on Krishna. He wouldn't travel with a suitcase full of boga and things to satisfy his senses, like I do. He would... In other words, he would just depend on Krishna. That's a sannyas. So why do we have, have these signs that we were supposed to renounce, like the Brahman thread and the sika? Well, the reason is preaching. Because if we want to bring others to Krishna, and that's a higher principle, the highest principle, as Krishna says in the Gita, one who teaches the science of Krishna consciousness, the Gita, is most dear to me. And there will never be anyone more dear to me than he or she who teaches Krishna consciousness, and preaches or shares or teaches the Bhagavad Gita. So that's higher than simply just renouncing this world. Plus, another point is, real renunciation is called yukta vairagya. Yukta vairagya is when one accepts things to serve the Lord. So, therefore, you may say, why is the Brahman thread important? It's just a piece of thread. Well, when we're preaching to people, especially from the Indian culture, in the West, it doesn't mean anything. It does not worth a hill of beans in the Western world. If you pull out your Brahman thread and say, hey, I'm a Brahman. But in India, well, people from the Indian background, if they see you have a Brahman thread, they say, whoa, Brahman. You have to serve Brahman. If you dress like a sannyasi, like our dress is like the Ramakrishna Mission sannyasi or the South Indian sannyasi, the Ramanujacharya, if they see that, they go, ooh, we have to listen to him, we have to respect him. So if you dress like this in India, and for people from India, they will naturally give you a little more respect. At least they'll feed you, what to speak of other types of respect. So you'll have more success in preaching. That's why. In the West, it doesn't make a difference. You know, you can dress like this, dress like that, and it really doesn't make any difference at all, whether you have a thread or a sika or a bald head or, you know, tilak or anything. It's inconsequential in the Western world. So, but for preaching, for sharing Krishna consciousness, it's important. And also, the reason we have this dress and we stick with this dress, it gives us a sense of identity, of a mission. That's why it's important. That's why I dress as a sannyasi. Although sometimes I will dress in Western clothes when I'm presenting Krishna consciousness to people in certain circumstances, I will dress in Western clothes. You know, whatever is favorable. That's called yukta vairagya, just like I'm using a computer. Traditionally, a sannyasi, what to speak of using a computer? Traditionally, a sannyasi couldn't cross an ocean, couldn't ride in a car, couldn't wear sewn clothing. It's like I'm wearing sewn clothing. Sewn, you see little buttons here. Buttons are prohibited for a sannyasi. Traditionally, no buttons. And you'll see sometimes in ISKCON when people try to imitate that standard of sannyasi and they won't have any hems on their cloth. Let me show you, see if I can find up my cloth. Hold on a second, Ito. On my dhoti. There's a hem because otherwise I can't find it right now. Let's see if I have another dhoti. Anyway, yeah, here's a hem. See, hem. You're not supposed to have hem on your cloth. So, the hemming still won't come unravels. I'll look half decent sometimes. And sometimes we even iron our clothes. I don't. But anyway, sometimes we iron our clothes. So, for presenting Krishna consciousness, that's the point. Otherwise, there's no necessity. We can just depend on Krishna. Okay. I think that's a very, very important point. Whatever is favorable for preaching Krishna consciousness and whatever is not favorable, we reject. That's all. It certainly wouldn't be favorable for me to walk around in a gumsha here. It would be unfavorable. What to speak of some traditional sannyasis, they dressed with the wind. What does that mean, dressing with the wind? I don't think I need to describe what that means. That means they would dress in their birthday suits. Not a good idea. Birthday suit means what you were born with. That's your birthday suit. Not the clothes you got on your first birthday or second birthday, but the clothes you got when you popped out of your mother. Okay, so let's continue. Little information about sannyasis there. Agurustani Agyamagi Aila Nilachale Ratri Dine Krishna Prima Ananda Vivale. After taking permission from his sannyas guru, Swarup Damodar went to Nilachal and accepted the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then all day and night, in ecstatic love of Krishna, he enjoyed transcendental mellows and the loving service of the Lord. Wow. Panditya vadi vakya nahi karo sane nirajane rahaye loka sabanahi jane. Surup Damodar was the limit of all learned scholarship, but he did not exchange words with anyone. He simply remained in a solitary place, and no one could understand where he was. Wow, he just didn't want to talk Pajapa. That's really interesting. Didn't exchange words with anyone. And that reminds me of a story from the Srimad Bhagavatam about one girl who wanted to be married to a wealthy man. But when her suitors came, that means possible husbands came, she didn't want them to understand that she had no money. And so when they came, she wanted to prepare some prasadam for them. And so she went in the kitchen. But she wanted them to think that she had servants. But she was preparing prasadam herself. She didn't have any servants. And so therefore, when she was preparing prasadam by herself, she had all these bracelets on. The bracelets kept going ching, 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 ching. You know, sometimes you see these ladies in India with like 10 bracelets on each arm. I don't know why people do that. It's very unwieldy. So, anyway, but she kept removing the bracelets until there was only one on each arm. And then there was no more chink, 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 and the people couldn't discover that she didn't have a servant. So the moral of the story is, when there is someone alone, there's no chink, 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 chink for Japa. And so Rupa Damodar Goswami understood that particular point, because he just wanted to be absorbed in Krishna. I mean, sometimes one of the things I enjoy the most is going around Govardhan Hill with nobody there. And there's no chink, 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 chink. There's only Hare Krishna, Govinda, Govardhan, Gopal. And I roll on the ground in ecstasy, jump in ecstasy, and there's no one to see me. And I'm happy. And no problems. So, Krishna Rasa Tattva Veta Deha Prema Rupa Sakshat Mahaprabhu Radhvitiya Sarupa. Sri Sarupa Damodar was the personification of ecstatic love, fully cognizant of the transcendental mellows in relationship with Krishna. He directly represented Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a second expansion. Granta Shloka Gita Keha Prabhupa Shayane Sarupa Pariksha Kaile Pache Prabhu Shune. If someone wrote a book or composed verses and songs and wanted to recite them before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar would first examine them and then correctly present them. Only then would Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agree to listen. So he reviewed everything before people would present them, because sometimes there was a misunderstanding of tattva or rasa, and it was distasteful for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to actually hear something where there was a conflicting rasas or not understanding the tattvas properly. Bhakti Siddhanta Viruda Ara Rasa Vasa Shunatena Haya Prabhura Chitera Ulasa. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was never pleased to hear books or verses opposed to the conclusive statements of devotional service. The Lord did not like hearing rasa bhasa, rasa bhasa, the overlapping of transcendental mellows. That's what I just mentioned. Bhakti Siddhanta Viruda refers to that which is against the principle of unity and diversity, philosophically known as achincha beda abheda tattva, simultaneous oneness and difference, whereas rasa bhasa sometimes is something that may appear to be a transcendental mellow, but actually it is not. Those who are pure Vaishnavas should avoid both these things opposed to devotional service. It means improper philosophy or improper understanding of the combination of rasas. These misconceptions practically parallel the Mayavad philosophy. If one indulges in Mayavad philosophy, he gradually falls down from the platform of devotional service. By overlapping mellows, rasa bhasa, one eventually becomes a prakrita sahosya and takes everything to be very easy. One may also become a member of the Bola community and gradually become attracted to material activities. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore advised us to avoid bhakti, siddhanta, viruda, and rasa bhasa. In this way, the devotee can remain pure and free from fall downs. Everyone should try to remain aloof from bhakti, siddhanta, viruda, and rasa bhasa. Atayava svarupage kare parikshana shudahaya yadi prabhure karana shravana. It was the practice of Swarup Damodar Goswami to examine all literatures to find out whether their conclusions were correct. Only then would he allow them to be heard by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that if something impedes the execution of devotional service, it should be understood to be impure. Pure devotees of the Lord do not accept impure principles. Impure devotees accept rasa bhasa, or overlapping contradictory mellows. Mellows means tastes or feelings in relationship to relationships with Krishna. And other principles opposed to the bhakti path. The followers of such impure principles are never accepted as pure devotees. There are many parties following the path of rasa bhasa, and the ordinary followers are sometimes adored by ordinary men. Those who adopt the conclusions of Rasavasa and Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha are never accepted as devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, let me give you examples of those things. One of Rasavasa. Okay, let's see. Here's a conflicting rasas. Okay. I am struggling so much with anger, so I can see the rasa dance. Ooh. What a combination, you know, anger and rasa dance. My material anger and rasa dance. Forget it. So that's rasabhasa. And Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha means, let's see one example of that, of a conclusion like that's improper. Okay. I am God. Or another one is that God is separate from this material world, doesn't have anything to do with the material world. That's called duality, extreme duality. But we are Tattva believers. Swarup Damodar Goswami never approved such followers as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, nor did he allow them even to meet the Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All right. Vidyapati Chandidasa Shigita Govinda Etina Gita Karana Prabhurananda. Sri Swarup Damodar used to read the poems of Vidyapati and Chandidasa and Jayadeva Goswami's Sri Gita Govinda. He used to make Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very happy by singing these songs. Wow. That's entertainment. Sangita Gandharva Sama Shastri Brahashpati Damodara Sama Ara Nahai Mahamati. Swarup Damodar was as expert a musician as the Gandharvas, and in scriptural discussion, he was just like Brahaspati, the priest of the heavenly gods. Therefore, it is to be concluded that there was no great personality quite like Swarup Damodar. Just finished this purport. Swarup Damodar Goswami was very expert in music as well as the Vedic scriptures. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to call him Damodar because of his expert singing and musical skills. The name Damodar was given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and added to the name given by a sannyas guru. He was therefore known as Swarupa Damodar or Damodara Swarup. He compiled a book of music named Sangita Damodara. So we ended with text 116. Okay, so let us stop sharing and hear your questions. We will unmute you so you can ask your questions in the chat window. You can ask your questions by raising your hand. You can ask your questions by interrupting me. Whatever you like to do, you can ask your questions. So right now, this is your opportunity to ask your questions. Opportunity. As they say, opportunity knocks just once. So who would like to ask a question? Oh, here's a question. In the chat window, very chatty. Hare Krishna Gurudev. This means that Radha Krishna worship should go through Lalita Sakhi, so it's pure, just like Swarup Damodar checks for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Radha Krishna worship goes through the spiritual master. That's the point. The spiritual master is a representative of Lord Nityananda, representative of Lord of Srimati Radharani, and representative of Lalita Sakhi and Vishaka. So, anyway, don't get too esoteric with me. Let's see who asked that question. Anyway, just preach Krishna consciousness. Preach Krishna consciousness, worship the deity, but worship the deity with the idea of giving other people the opportunity to see the deity and become attracted. Compassion is actually the mark of a Vaishnava. We want people to become devotees. join the Krishna conscious movement, surrender their lives, go back to Godhead. I mean, that's what we're here for. And then Krishna reveals all these things. Can you explain? Here's another one from Mayapur Chandra, who's supposed to be out preaching right now, but he's not. Can you please explain? Whoops. Wait, people getting more shy. More and more questions are coming in by the chat window. Can you please explain how does Yukta Vairagya apply to how Lord Chaitanya would eat the opulent foods offered to him? Because Lord Chaitanya was showing how one should reciprocate. The reason Lord Chaitanya would eat opulent foods is not that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking, oh, I get to eat opulent foods. Just like sometimes we may think when someone says Mahaprasadam, oh, sweets. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he liked opulent foods because those opulent foods were offered by his devotees with devotion. So he was reciprocating with his loving devotees. That's why he ate opulent foods. Otherwise, there's no question, Lord Chaitanya could just like go through the woods and eat roots, which he did many times. As it's described, when Lord Chaitanya was wandering through the forest, he would just eat roots and, hate to tell you, it's even in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that he ate mushrooms. Keep that a secret, all right? I'm saying this quietly so none of you can hear. So please, just whisper so nobody can hear it. It's described that Lord Chaitanya would sometimes eat mushrooms. What's wrong with mushrooms? Nothing. As long as they're grown cleanly. Like, Prabhupada didn't want us to eat mushrooms in India because they were grown in human stool, some sort of stool. And also, many mushrooms are intoxicating. The hippies used to love to eat them because they would wander through the fields and have visions of nonsense when they ate them. So here's another one. Hare Krishna Gurudev. When a person starts their service and are beginning to know their rasa, such high topics are tough to absorb, and now such offenses could be avoided. When a person starts their service and beginning to know their rasa, such high topics are tough to absorb. That's hard for me to understand the question. So it's Hare Krishna Gurudev. When a person starts their service and are beginning to know their rasa, such high topics are tough to absorb. And how such offenses can be avoided. Bias, I mean, anyway, question is sort of not worded properly. But basically, one has to take advice from a devotee who has understood, who does understand their particular rasa. We cannot get out of taking advice thinking, oh, I understand my rasa. I am a cockroach in the spiritual world. And my business is to eat prasadam, remnants all the time of Krishna as a cockroach. that's a rasa, I'm sure. I'm sure there must be some bugs that eat the prasadam. All right, here's another one. Gurudev, what is more important, go back to Godhead or Gurudev's instructions? What do you think, Gurudev's instructions? What should be the priority? The priority is compassion. And we think of others more than we think of ourselves. We are so self-centered, we're always thinking of ourselves. Oh, me. I want to go back to Godhead. I want to eat opulent prasadam. I am hungry. Of course I am. But anyway, I want to eat prasadam. I want to go back to Godhead. I want to understand what my relationship with Krishna is. How many times do we use the word I? Actually, more times than we use the word Krishna. So, I want to be happy. I want this. I want to understand this. Why don't we say, what does Krishna want? Actually, that's the most important thing. And so, The guru, the bona fide guru, reveals what Krishna wants. Ask not what your guru can do for you, but what you can do for your guru. That's called parallel construction, technically speaking. All right, what other questions? Are there anybody else have any questions? Raise your hand, write your... Text questions are actually kind of nice, because I can read them. Who else has a question? Either write, raise your hand, unmute, or somehow or other communicate with me. Otherwise, we will end. Because it's time for prasadam. I'm in New Orleans right now, and we'll be here for the next day or two. Tomorrow's Friday. Oh, here. No more questions. Today is Friday here, and I know today is Thursday, tomorrow is Friday, next day is Saturday. So we're very happy to be here, and we're doing service for Srila Prabhupada here, serving Srila Prabhupada's mission. Okay.
Sure, Dave.
Whoops.
Uh-oh. I have one question.
Yes, Mr. Cohen.
You mentioned earlier that our priority is to think of others instead of ourselves.
Yes.
Or at least more than ourselves. Yes. So how does that relate to a legitimate need for autonomy as well?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we have to satisfy our basic needs in order to be stable in Krishna consciousness so we can help others. That's true. So, yes, so that's part of it. It's just like if you're going to drive somewhere. Let's talk about this in terms of a car metaphor. Let's say I'm going to drive to, here I am in New Orleans. Let's say I'm going to drive to New Taliban. So I got to make sure my car has petrol, or gasoline, as we say in the United States. I got to make sure there's oil. I got to make sure the tires are all right. All these are basic things to accomplish my goal. But we can't lose sight of the goal. That's the point. Yes, we take care of our basic needs. However, as far as the tires on the car, continuing with the metaphor, I was just reading that you can get tires for your car that cost several thousand dollars each tire. So, and or you can get wheels. You know, wheels means not the tire itself, but the thing the tire goes on. It costs thousands of dollars in real fancy mag wheels or something like that. But that doesn't help you get to your destination sooner. It just puts you in debt and it's over endeavor. So better you don't get mag wheels in your car, unless the car comes with it, naturally. So anyway, yes, you satisfy your needs so you can get to your destination, which is helping people. That's the point. Not your desire. I mean, you know, I would love mag wheels on my car. I think I already have mag wheels on my car. I would love mag wheels in my car. I would love all the bells and whistles and things like that in the car, which I think I already have. But anyway, so I would love that. But the whole point is to get to the destination safely. So, you know, I would love to have a dhoti with embroidery on it, with my name embroidered everywhere, with my initials. And I'd love to have people fanning me all day long with peacock fans and carrying me around on a palanquin. But, you know, that's not necessary to get to my destination. Okay, so we should end. Thank you very much. All glories to His divine Krishna.
Thank you, Guru.
We'll see everybody tomorrow evening. Haribol.